As you have noted, the title of my presentation has changed a little bit from the one I originally submitted to the program. But I think you guys have already learned about the tiered approach and also the different elements of the design of tier one studies. So what I'm going to do today is I'll be focusing on a meta-analysis of previously published lab effect testing with BT crops to see what we can learn from, you know, there's hundreds of studies out there. Maybe it can help us to, or get us to design a good tier one studies that can be used to predict the risk of GM crops. First, I would like to acknowledge the contribution of my co-authors, Michelle Marbier. She really played a pivotal role in assembling the package, the database for me to run the meta-analysis. And Jonathan Langren, Steve Naranju, and Robin Rose, and Galen Devley have been constantly bugged by me and calling them for ideas, how do we explore the database. Over the past decade, there have been hundreds of studies. Here, this table summarizes all the lab NTU testing with BT product, and BT either BT proteins or pure plant tissues. And these studies include eight major taxonomic, invertebrate taxonomic orders, about six major functional guilds, including pollinators, predators, herbivores, omnivores, and detritivores. Among those non-target organisms tested, most are arthropods or insects. There is one. I couldn't see them. Okay, there's no point. This one have Taxida as earthworm. For those of you who do not know what this group is, it's we consider earthworm as detritivores, which play a very important role in degrading, decomposing debris of detritus plant. Okay, and those 115 lab studies or reports submitted to EPA for BT crop registration usually contain more than one independent test. So there's about 556 independent experiment compare the effect of a BT versus non-BT. Okay. So if you look at the design of those study, I basically characterize these studies in two groups. One is a toxicity based lab studies, which focus on the evaluation of the direct toxicity of BT cry proteins or BT trait. And these studies are mostly done with pure proteins. Okay. The other type of study I classified as tritrophic interaction studies. Those studies involved assessing the tritrophic interaction between BT plants, plant feeding insects, and their natural enemies, either predators or parasitoids. And those studies are done with pure proteins and most time actually with plant tissues or living plants. So the endpoint measured in those studies most commonly include mortality or survival. Sometimes the same set of organisms also are also being measured for growth, development, and reproduction. Some studies also measure behavior and movement. But for the analysis I'm presenting here, the endpoint measured is the mortality, survival, and reproduction. Just for the reason for non-independence. Because if you test the group of insects, you measure survival as well as the growth or development. It means the measurement of the growth and development is not independent from your mortality, from the measurement of the mortality. So a fundamental question related to the tier one lab NTU studies, how confident are we to use these lab studies to make a prediction of the risk of BT crops? In the next few slides, I'm going to show you is the result of the meta-analysis to see if we can predict the risk of BT crops. It's kind of a retrospective analysis, but I think we can learn a lot of things. So what is the meta-analysis? Basically, meta-analysis is an evidence-based approach to risk assessment. It is a quantitative research synthesis to analyze the results of a set of studies that test a similar hypothesis. For example, all the tier one studies with the BT crops to test if BT protein are toxic or if adversely impact different groups of non-target organisms. There's also different methods for meta-analysis. The commonly used method is to use so-called Hedges D. That formula gives you a very simple definition. What is Hedges D? It's basically the difference between your experimental mean versus your control mean. Could be mortality or survival, and standardized by the variability or variation of your study. And it's also adjusted by the J, which is the sample size. Because when you put all the study together, each study could have different variation and different sample size. So how are you going to standardize to make a quantitative comparison or analysis of the effect of your test material? And also, Hedges D takes into account the variability of each study, so it is more quantitative than other method. So this is the method I used for this presentation. And to look at if the effect size we see for each study is significantly different from zero, we calculate the confidence interval of Hedges D. If zero is within that confidence interval, that means the effect you see is not statistically significant from zero. If zero is outside of the confidence interval, that means the effect size you detect is significantly different from zero. Usually when D is larger than 0.2, the effect size is considered large or moderate. So again, the database analyzed include primary lab studies, which include both toxicity-based and tritrophic interaction assays. The protein in the database are primarily Lepidopteran active protein, including Cry1AB, AC, 2AB, Cry1F, that have been used in commercialized BT cotton and BT BT corn. This database includes 6 functional guilds in 8 different invertebrate orders. And again, the endpoint measured in the analysis are survival, mortality, and reproduction. All the comparisons between BT and non-BT are independent. That means all the comparison have to come from independent experiment. It's not does not include multiple comparisons from measurement of same set of test organisms. And finally, I also run an analysis just to compare what we got from the lab study versus what we got from the field study, which Michelle Marbier 2007 have published her analysis result in the Journal of Science in April. So this is the first analysis I run. Basically, the y-axis is the effect size, the D, Hedges D, calculate using MetaWin software. The x-axis is different non-target orders. From this chart, you can see the first bar is Lepidoptera. The Hedges D is negative, close to negative 0.7. That means there is a significant adverse effect of these proteins on non-target Lepidopterans, which is expected, right? Because the protein are well known to be Lepidopteran active. But there is no significant effect on Heteroptera, which include both Homopteran and Hemipteran, Coleoptera, Neuroptera. Neuroptera is lacewings. Most of you know the contradictory story about lacewings. You know, some study shows effect, some study did not show effect, but you put them together, run a meta-analysis, really the effect is not significantly different from zero. Hymenoptera, surprisingly, you saw some significant, even small, the effect on the Hymenopterans. I'm going to come back later to talk about this. Okay? Columella, no effect. Clary, no effect. No effect on earthworms. Hyplopsic taxida. And on the top, that's the N. So how many independent experiments or studies included in the analysis? So the second analysis that I run is I basically lump these non-target organisms by functional guild, or functional groups. Again, here you see the significant effect on herbivores. We know BT protein, BT crops are controlling Lepidopteran plant feeding insects. The effect size became somewhat smaller, mainly because this herbivore group include not only Lepidopteran, but also other herbivores, Coleopterans. That's why the effect size was diluted. But it still sees significant adverse effect on herbivores. No effect on omnivores, detritivores, pollinators, predators. But again, the parasitoids showed up here. Remember the effect in the previous figure, the impact on Hymenopteran? Hymenopteran include a large group of test insects, include two functional groups, parasitoids and pollinators. Okay, so pollinators are primary honeybee studies. We did not show any effect. In fact, we run a separate analysis on honeybees with Galen and Michelle. The paper has been accepted by PLOS ONE. Basically, we did not see any effect of BT protein on honeybees, which is here the pollinators. So the third analysis I run, so I basically, I combined what the field data with the lab data. The field data has have already been analyzed by Michelle, published. But I combined these two databases together. I run a direct comparison for herbivores for different functional groups. Some functional group cannot be compared because there is not enough field study. So like for example, omnivores, there are simply, there are very few lab studies. You cannot do a comparison. However, for herbivores, there's enough studies for us to compare the hatched barge lab study. You saw significant effect, even smaller. And field studies, you do see the significant adverse effect on herbivores. And here, parasitoid. Here you see significant adverse effect in the lab, and also you see in the field too. I'm going to come back to talk about why we saw the effect of BT crops on parasitoids. At that detritivores, here there is a reasonable large sample size, and there is no effect. And predators, no effect, both in life and in the field. And pollinator and omnivores cannot be compared because there is not enough either lab studies or not enough field studies for us to compare the lab results versus the field results. So why do we see the effect on parasitoids? Basically, I look at first I look at the lab study. Remember, there's two kind of lab studies. One is direct toxicity studies, which involve direct exposure of this parasitoid to a toxin and look for mortality. The other one is a trophic study, which involve exposing the parasitoid to a susceptible host. To a host that is susceptible to BT proteins. I mean, in the trichotrophic study, all the hosts used for the parasitoid are intoxicated by BT proteins. So when you use intoxicated host, what are you going to expect? You're going to see effect on the progeny of the parasitoid. So really the effects, what we see BT protein on parasitoid, is not unexpected if you look at the design. The kind of design right now in the literature are all involved using susceptible target host and the parasitoid because hosts are intoxicated by BT proteins and the parasitoid progeny cannot develop well. That's why you get lower reproduction. So this is a really design, the design related. It's not a direct protein toxicity. It's a trophic interaction related effect. So if you look at this chart, it tells you no surprising at all to see effect on parasitoid, even for the field data. Because when you have, in the field data, I have just recently reviewed a manuscript by Steve and Rolenza. They conducted a meta-analysis of field studies on the different functional guilds. And what they saw also the same effect on parasitoid, which those parasitoids in the field study so far primarily Macrocentrus grandi, or cinculata, which is specialized parasitoid attacking European corn borer, because the BT corn are very effective in reducing population of BT European corn borer. Of course, you saw a low abundance in the field. So if you see this chart, if your parasitoid, all predators are specialists, are relying on the target pest. If you remove the target pest, of course, there is nothing to feed in the field. You can see lower abundance. So that's why it's very important for us to be cautious when you conduct a field study, how are you going to interpret the results. So I want to conclude my presentation. Basically, what we can see from the meta-analysis that insect set of protein used in BT corn and cotton are target specific and have no direct toxicity against non-target organisms tested. And the adverse effect on Hymenopteran parasitoid is small and not related to direct toxicity of BT proteins, but possibly related to the drug interaction with the BT intoxicated host. And this type of tropical effect is not unexpected from any insect control method that is effective in controlling the target pest. And so to answer the question I raised at the beginning of my talk, how confident are we in the predictive ability of TR1 NTU studies, especially for BT crops, I would say very confident for the NTUs we have been tested. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
We have exceptionally few studies where people have worked with non-target pests and parasitoids, and that would make a lot of more sense to me, because I mean, who cares about the specialist parasitoids when the pest is controlled anyway?
Yeah. The other thing is when you do lab study, you probably, especially for even if it's a generalist predator, you may not see, you know, prominent effects in the lab, but in the field, if that parasitoid or predator is specialist, the target pest is going to be impacted, you're going to see it. But in a lab test, especially tier one study, it's no choice test. So they get no choice. For generalist predators, if you even saw effect in the lab, but in the field, you won't be able to see the effect.